lot of people worry that the stock market is headed for trouble these days. But if it's getting there, well, there's a lot of ways that the market could get into trouble. We're going looking for that trouble right now. This is the Danger Zone. Welcome to the Danger Zone on Money Life, the part of the show where we talk with the experts from New Constructs. And at New Constructs, they evaluate securities differently from most folks because they dig in at the footnotes level and they work their way up. They are looking at things the reverse from most folks who start at the top down. And when you do it their way and you ask a basic question,
is it possible I'm not as attractive as I think I am?
You often find that that's exactly the case, that something that looks attractive at the surface is kind of ugly because the data is misleading. Conversely, it can work the other way as well. Something could look ugly at surface level, and you dig in at the bottom and you find out that, wait, hold it, there's a lot of good here. And actually today we're going to talk a little bit probably in both directions, because joining me now, Kyle Guskey. He is investment analyst at New Constructs. They blog about all of their Danger Zone picks, so there's more information on everything we discuss at newconstructs.com. Kyle Guskey, it's great to have you back on Money Life.
Thanks for having me.
Who or what is in the Danger Zone this week?
Street earnings.
Danger!
Street earnings. That's a term that most folks maybe are not quite so familiar with, but functionally, there's what you guys and the analysis community call street earnings, and then there's what you might call core earnings. And at New Constructs, you guys normally focus on core earnings because there's a big difference. So explain, what's the problem with street earnings and what's being hidden, good, bad, or otherwise, in those numbers?
We recently put together macro reports looking at all the key metrics we look at, the core earnings, ROIC, free cash flow, and stuff for the S&P 500. And in doing so, we found that recent earnings beats across the market are basically not as real as they appear. A lot of these street earnings metrics suffer from a lot of omissions and flaws of unusual and non-operating items and gap in net income. The problem with street earnings specifically is there's no way to know how flawed they truly are, unlike our core earnings. In theory, core and street earnings should be similar. They're both supposed to be adjusting for unusual and hidden items and gap to get to that really true recurring core profitability of a company. But in reality, what we're finding is that street earnings often fail to account for a lot of those unusual items. And for investors, you never know what is missing or what's included, because in the examples we'll talk about, street earnings lack consistency and kind of what type of items are missing. Sometimes it's hidden items that are only in the footnotes. Sometimes it's items that are reported right on the income statement that are pretty clearly unusual and non-operating that you would assume would be taken out to calculate a true recurring profitability, but we're finding that they're not.
What you have here is companies that are understating real earnings, or they're overstating their earnings, correct?
Correct. So we look at it, the most overstated and understated street earnings relative to our core earnings. And first example we can look at is NVR Inc., ticker NVR. Basically, it is the most understated street earnings in the S&P 500. We've got a street earnings number of, you know, right around 248 a share, and our core earnings show that it's actually much higher at 262 a share. And the big difference there is that there's some hidden items that we're finding in the footnotes, specifically around 22 million in the TTM period. And when we compare it to, you know, street and gap and core, we're basically finding that street earnings misses the entirety of these hidden items. The difference between street earnings and core earnings and core and gap earnings is almost the same, which illustrates that street earnings misses, you know, the entirety of those items. The street earnings measure that is supposed to be showing the true earnings potential of the company, but our core earnings is much higher and it's accounting for these hidden items. So clearly street earnings is giving investors a misleading picture of NVR's actual profitability. And in this case, understating it.
But if you're understating profitability, wouldn't that normally be a good thing?
It's a good thing unless you're the one looking at that street earnings number and you're getting a misleading picture of the actual company. So, you know, you're looking at your fundamental analysis, and because you don't know what is in that street earnings number, you think the profits are lower than what we're actually finding to be the recurring profit of the company, that core earnings number. This one's more from a investor perspective, where using that street earnings number can be misleading, detrimental to you to actually, you know, find out, hey, these companies are much more profitable than that street earnings number.
Well, and I want to point out that on the list of most understated street earnings, Wynn Resorts is up there. You guys hate Wynn Resorts. It's been in the danger zone in the past. And so you can still be a dangerous stock, even if you're understating your earnings.
Correct. Just because the street earnings understate does not mean that stock has quality risk reward.
Okay.
There's a lot more goes into that, you know, valuation, everything else. But yeah.
So
in
now,
the pure dollar sense, they're understated street earnings.
So now let's flip it around. There are some big, big name companies that are on the list for most overstated street earnings. And you're not necessarily saying that they're all terrible, are you?
Correct. It does work in the same way. One of them specifically is Alphabet. Alphabet kind of shows that street earnings miss what we consider to be clearly non-operating. On the Alphabet's income statement in 1Q and the 2020 10K, they've got a line item that appears as other income or other expense, and it appears below the income from operations. So to us and to, you know, most, you would say, okay, if it's below income from operations, it's clearly non-operating a part of that business. Unfortunately, we're seeing that, again, the difference in core and street and core and gap is nearly the same. So street earnings is missing the entirety of the adjustments we found in gap earnings and failing to account for those when calculating that true recurring profitability. So in this case, Alphabet street earnings are overstating the actual profitability of the company. But with Alphabet, it's still earning a lot of money. It's just the fact that if you're using that street earnings number, you're not getting a true picture of Alphabet's recurring profitability. And you're not really getting a true sense of everything going on in the numbers. You're getting kind of that it is overstated. Doesn't mean the stock has to be dangerous, but if you don't know the actual data and what you're getting, you never know when it would be an actual problem.
Well, yeah, the issue there becomes one of you set your expectations based on street earnings. If it's NVR and they're understated and you wind up having a surprise that works out for you, you're super happy. But if it's Alphabet, Google, and you wind up being disappointed because you're expecting big things because the numbers are bigger than expected, well, disappointment is disappointment. It can be on a big name stock in a big company, or it can be on some little company nobody's ever heard of. You're still disappointed either way.
Exactly. And the biggest problem with street earnings is you never know what is missing and what is not included in there. There's lack of transparency there. So you're kind of guessing. And like I said, we're finding in these examples that there's no consistency in what street earnings adjust and what unusual items street earnings does and doesn't account for in GAAP, which then makes it hard to model anything going forward because you're never sure whether you're understated, overstated, or perfectly stated. And uncertainty creates issues whenever you're trying to do this type of fundamental analysis.
The bigger problem is if I'm an individual investor, even one who prides myself on balance sheet reading and all the rest, this is not exactly something that you just kind of go, oh, there's my line item that tells me how much they're misleading me by.
Correct. Yeah, sometimes it's going to be a list of items. With Google, you know, we've got probably 15, 18 items here that we found in the latest 10K and 1Q, 10Q. There's no one item you can look to. In Google's case, yes, they have that other income item, but there are more items in the financials that are unusual and non-recurring that we got to pull out of that gap number to get that true profitability number.
Ultimately, if the performance is not what you expect, there's still no way to know that this is what happened to make it so, good, bad, or otherwise. There's no way to go, oh, this is that earnings distortion that we're talking about.
No. And, you know, as we've seen with the market lately, it can kind of go up regardless of numbers. But when the fundamentals do matter, you really want that true one level of profitability. And we look at that as core earnings rather than some of the other earnings, such as street earnings, that are clearly missing unusual items that investors need to be aware of.
And that's why street earnings are something that you've got to be cautious about and decide just how much you want to dig in and learn more about and whether or not you want to trust all the numbers you're getting. Because, again, they can be pretty misleading. It's a fascinating report. It's available at newconstructs.com where they blog about their danger zone picks. And you can find out a lot more because there's a number of stocks listed, not just the ones we talked about here. Kyle Guskey is investment analyst for New Constructs. Kyle, always great to chat with you. Thanks so much for doing it.
Thanks for having me.
Again, you can get more at newconstructs.com and on Twitter at newconstructs. All right, we are, well, heading for home on today's show. Up next, I'll be taking an audience member's question. Actually, this is one that a couple of you have asked about. So that's something you don't want to miss, so don't miss it. We'll be right back with more Money Life in just a moment.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.